Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. The Reverend Craig Mueller is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading appointed for today is from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of that nail of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is the word of the Lord. Well, imagine the scene, if you will. The disciples are afraid of what the Jews might do to them. Obviously, if they got the leader, it would be brave enough to go after his disciples. These hostile Jews had murdered Jesus and threatened to expel from the synagogue all who confessed Jesus as the Messiah. 10 of the 11 disciples, probably along with others, were huddled together in a room with the doors locked. Now, we probably can relate to a lockdown. Well, Jesus came and stood among them. There were many critics who cannot accept this simple fact of the Word of God in our text and tried to deny the miracle of the Lord's entry. However, in his risen and victorious state, time, space, the rock of the tomb, the walls, and the doors of buildings no longer hamper the body of our Lord. He appears where he desires to appear, and his visible presence disappears when he desires to have it so. This is completely supernatural, completely incomprehensible in our own feeble minds. The Bible, the Word of God, states Jesus came and stood among them. When the living Lord now suddenly stood in the room before their very eyes, the effect must have been terrifying to them. No doubt there were mixed thoughts and feelings. They had all fallen away from the Lord only 3 days earlier. They had thought only of their own welfare and safety as they melted into the shadows and darkness on that Good Friday evening. What would he say to them regarding their failures? How would he react to all that they had done, which was so contrary to the will of their Savior? Well, we too can ask the same questions of our own actions and lack of actions. How many times have we fallen away from the Lord, neglecting him as we go about our daily activities, just too busy to spend time with the Lord in devotions and prayer or divine service? Or pet sins, ungodly language, unholy thoughts, denying the fact that we are his disciples because of our fear of the cancel culture or peer pressure, all these and more. We desire to hide in from others in the shadow of our own memories and the darkness of sin, locked behind the doors of our attempts to keep others from knowing about our actions, our words, and our thoughts. We want no one to come in and know about them. Yet the same one who is not limited by the physical doors of that house in Jerusalem is not limited by our attempts to block him out of knowing exactly everything we have ever done and every thought that has ever raced across our minds. Would our Lord say anything different to us than what he said to those people behind the locked doors in Jerusalem? No. He came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When Jesus says peace, he actually gives what the word says. It's not a lovely sounding phrase that is empty, but one rather that is filled with heavenly reality. This peace is the condition and the situation of peace when we have been reconciled to God. Jesus had accomplished that peace for the world on the cross. So when confronted with the risen Christ, these disciples who had fled from the Lord of the universe were confronted with the Prince of Peace, who loved them. He does so for us as well. Despite our failures, he comes to us with the offer of peace. And having said this, Jesus showed his hands and his side to them. Disciples had to be convinced of the identity of Jesus, which the marks of the crucifixion clearly demonstrated. John points out how his hands and side cast their light upon his greeting of peace, where Jesus shows the disciples the very price which he bought for our peace, the nail prints and the wound caused by the spear, the evidence of his death by crucifixion for us. These holy wounds proclaim that God is at peace with us. So despite how you might feel about yourself, or about what you have done or thought, or despite how you may feel about God, the objective truth of God's peace with the world is seen in the marks of the crucifixion. Our Lord Jesus extended his hands on the cross to be pierced by the nails, and he extends those same hands to you and says, "Peace be with you." Those pierced hands and pierced heart take all our guilt away. That, people, is forgiveness. That is peace. And it's for you. That's his promise. The reaction of the disciples upon hearing these words of love and forgiveness and peace and acceptance from the Lord, what did they do? They were glad when they saw the Lord. Our hearts are glad. Our souls are refreshed. Our spirits renewed. Our purpose in life is given direction when the word of the Lord penetrates our failures and our sins with that good news of forgiveness. But now what? What is to be done? Listen to Jesus. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." He repeats the words, "Peace be with you." That peace which you have received is to be taken and shared with others. This peace is not merely to strengthen the hearts of the disciples so they can remain behind locked doors in fear. They are to be possessors of the Lord's peace because as his witnesses and messengers of this good news, they are to dispense this very gift of peace in a peaceless world. And so to you and me, those who have received peace are to be messengers of that peace to the world. The commission to bring the gospel of peace and salvation to a world belongs to the entire church, to you and me. Our Lord continues, "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." Jesus commissions us to take that simple yet life-giving message to a world starving for true peace. We are not sent with magic or signs or powers that are spectacular in the eyes of the world. Just as the Lord used common people and simple means in the days of our text, so he does today. He calls ordinary, sinful people like you and like me to bring about the message of peace to a dying world. And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The gift of the Holy Spirit here made by Jesus is to enable his disciples to exercise the right, the authority, and the power which he now sends them. This power is given to his church. You and I have been given this great privilege to forgive one another in our daily vocations and also not to forgive the sins of those who are impenitent. Martin Luther writes, "As when my neighbor comes and says, 'Friend, I am distressed in my conscience. Say an absolution to me.' Then I may freely do this, preach the gospel to him, tell him how he is to appropriate the works of Christ, and is firmly to believe Christ's righteousness is his, and his sins are Christ's. This is the greatest service I may render to my neighbor, to give peace to your neighbor, the peace of God. Yet we know that only those who are called to be pastors are given the responsibility to proclaim it publicly, that is, on behalf of the church, as called and ordained servants of the word. My dear friends, amid all the clamorings of the world, of those who doubt, when you are assailed by weakness and Satan and accused by your conscience, remember that our God, who cannot lie, has promised you eternal life and forgives you all your sins by his grace for Christ's sake through faith. And when he says, "Peace be with you," he means it. That is true peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding, not just human understanding. The peace that the world cannot give, that peace which will not be able to find within yourself or in your government, in a politician, or being in the right social group. So, dear friends, listen and hear the voice of Jesus, your Lord and your God, as he came to breathe the Holy Spirit into you at your baptism. As you were spiritually blind, dead, and his enemy, he breathed life, salvation, and forgiveness into you. This Jesus breathes forgiveness and life in the words of holy absolution. He breathes forgiveness of life into you when you receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given and shed for you in his holy supper. Do not doubt, but believe. Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe. Our Lord proclaims to you and me, "Peace be with you." You have peace because your sins are forgiven. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Southeastern District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for a chaplain, Paul Rockroar, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.